So let's start with the Gemara in the middle of Pei Daled Amud Aleph. Jay, can I ask you to read? Ibai Elihu. I'm going to say in the middle, towards the bottom.
Ibai Elihu, Harei Ve'yutet, Almanat, Shetofi, Masar, Azir, Mahu. Just to get as long as you are, our condition is that you eat pig meat.
Pig meat, okay. Otherwise, then it's pork. Yeah, pork, and, pork does not appeal for me. Bacon, at least I can see the appeal when you look at the pictures.
Well, isn't pork?
It is, but it, pork is just like, pork is like chazir. Bacon look, doesn't
look... That's the general name for
the I know, but bacon doesn't look like chazir. You know, and you understand it craftily, it's this, you know, but pork is...
Like ham.
What?
Like you're not as much as a ham.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's Mayasal. I think for most of us, it's, you know, unless someone, you know, did not grow up a surfing, so there are a few things. Eating a vela meat is one thing, but to eat chazir, that's like, you know, that's something else, I think. So anyway, but be that as it may, that might only be my opinion. That's not the... So that's the question. So it's a very odd question to ask, right? And it's a very interesting machlokas. And before we explore some of the lumdish details, I just want to talk about the philosophical question here, which is why you have a very unusual marimakom on your marimakomos. Of the two paragraphs of Rabbeinu Yonah Sharei Tshuva, it's the second one that I wanted, that I just didn't feel was fair to give you the second one without the first, because you don't see the... he begins the second paragraph by saying, secondly. So it's not fair to that knowing what the first is. But it really, as soon as before, so the Sharei Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, which I read pieces of, I happened to pick up again literally yesterday. And as I was doing it, I said, oh, this is very interesting. Because I was thinking about this question. Lamashal. Some of you may know that I mocked it for the most part on Yasha. So my if you're a guest at your house, I won't ask questions, I'll eat, doesn't matter. Longer discussion than that. Okay, so if you go, but let's say it's in my house, and somebody brings a cake to my house. So I would prefer not to be eating the cake for dietary reasons, not for kosher reasons. But bottom line is, if you leave that cake looking at me long enough, if I pass through the kitchen enough times, I'm just going to say that the diet starts tomorrow. Right? That's what I'm going to do. So, but if you tell me that the cake is not yashan, and I choose that dafka as an example precisely because it's not even like, according to most of my community, it's a problem, the cake doesn't tempt me. It doesn't tempt me at all. And I think it would be true probably almost everybody, the same thing would be true with just if you took something that was traded for the elbow. It might look appealing, but you wouldn't feel tempted in the same way, you know, if it were just a diet that you were on. Right? So there's something rooted in our psychology. I don't mean ours in the sense of Jewish psychology. I think there's an element, a psychological dimension here, that there's a difference between something that, you know, emerges. I mean, I think there are a couple of things going. Part of it, one is a hard and fast rule. The answer is, I never eat this. I never eat chazir, I never eat that. So it's not like, I can't negotiate and say, well, I'll start my serving kashrus tomorrow. Whereas, when it comes to the diet, it's like, it's not that if you want to have a healthy diet, it's not that you can never eat a piece of cake. Of course you can. You just can't eat a piece of cake every day. Right, so it's easy to be more ahead there and say, oh, I think that I'll do that. So there is a difference between those two scenarios, two things that I shouldn't eat. One because it's not good for me, b'derchal, and one because it's chaser. So Abaye and Rava have a machlokas here, right? What does Abaye says? Amar Abaye. And Rava Amar,
Efshar Dach
La Vilakya. So Abaye says, it's the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, saying that if you're master on something that's Yeshar, the Tanai is not only get his kind. In other words, according to Abaye, it's Yeshar. And Rava says what? Efshar to Ach La Vilakya. Spell this, translate. No, it's not what Lakya. What does Lakya mean? Shani?
Get whipped.
Get whipped. You get malchus. You get malchus. Now, it's funny why he says, achla v'lakya. Does Rava really mean you get malchus for eating? Well, on some level he might, if only because in order for, this touches upon an unrelated issue. Let's say a man gives his wife a get almanas that she does X. Do you need proof that she did X? Let's say he gives that get almanas that she do 100 jumping jacks in 3 minutes. So she trains and trains and trains. She comes back 2 weeks later and says, I did it. Is that sufficient? Or does she need two witnesses to watch her doing the jumping jacks? Thoughts about that? And what I'm asking is it really necessary that she eat the chazan in front of the witnesses? So, gentlemen, see? Nice slice of bacon. Yum. Does she need to do that? Because that's the way you get malchus, to even say, don't do that. Or is it just a melitza? I mean, she can violate the issue. It's out there. Fine. What? I'm sorry? How do you know that? Okay, so you put the pull together from later in our sugya, which is that if he says almanash shekibali the phony, it's not sufficient that you have yichud. You need to actually have edidia. In other words, you need edim, not very appealing, Jake. I understand, but you need edim for kiyum hatanai. You need edim for kiyum hatanai. So it doesn't matter if almanash shekibali the phony. It doesn't matter presumably if almanash shekibali, and it doesn't matter almanash shekibali chazer. So Rava could be saying, I don't know if you want to be the guy from Rava, that the fact that he says achla v'lakya is proof that you need edus for it. Because how else would you get malchus? It's not absolute proof, because you could just say that it's a melitza, it's an expression, right? She'll even get malchus. It doesn't matter if she gets malchus. And actually, it doesn't matter if she gets the malchus. And how could she not get malchus if she's a cultivated? Well, for starters, that probably wouldn't count as achila here. Very clever, but no. The answer is that you didn't think of hasra. You didn't say achal pifin. You don't have a basis of smoking. It's divavel. Rav on the divavel. There are all sorts of ways in reality you don't actually get malchus. So whether Rav really meant achal v'lakya as in theory she will get malchus for it because it's part of Adam, or it just meant she could violate the issue. You get it. I wouldn't fully show this. Some Rishonim certainly assume that the Kiyum HaTanai requires Adam. And you can ask the question, why? I have a theory as to the answer to the question, but I don't know if it's expressed explicitly anywhere. See, the Adam and the, what's the Adam and the Pius figure for, Brian? That is because we think that something might happen, right? In other words, it's likely that he's Matthias, therefore we need Adam if he weren't. They are the Adam or to demonstrate something where there's a predisposition to thinking actually isn't true. Whereas, let's say Stam, I'm an Ashutit Nima Sainzus. Right? Or, Amanas, you know, Shisham Shis Abba, you know, Shnei Yamin. Whatever it might be, does she need to bring Adus to that? Fundamentally. And again, it's clear the Rashba assumes that. The Rashba and the Ramban assume that here. I think it's very, very clear in the significant machlokas that emerges. It is clear they believe that you need edus. I don't want to say the kiyum hadavar, edus l'kiyum hatanai. Yeah.
But then, because earlier whether or not the kiyum shdaros is shdaros in and of itself, something that leads to the get the matter fact.
Okay, so that's the question I really want to ask, which is, if edus is required of some variety for the get, which is, you require, let's say that when we pass an edi and nesira, is it sufficient just to have edi and nesira for the nesira of the get, or is the edus required for the tanai as well? And even for Rabbi Meir, that the ikar edus on the get is, let me ask the following question, I think that we shouldn't say this, actually. Why is it that Rabbi Meir doesn't require Ede Mesira? In other words, the fact that the Edom signed on the get, what does that prove? Nothing. Doesn't prove anything. It proves that it proves the husband authorized writing the get. Doesn't prove the husband gave the get. If you don't have Ede Mesira, and so why is it good according to Rabbi Meir? Yeah.
The umdana that
is
the wife's hand was probably done correctly.
Correct. The umdana was given by the husband. It's not that he just dropped it, lost it, and she picked it up. Right? There's an umdana that Rabbi Meir works with that if the Edom signed in the get properly, that the Edom, we know the Edom witnessed this debt and husband's authorization, they signed on the get, and now it winds up in the woman's hand. So presumably, according to Rabbi Meir, if Edom and Sira are not necessary, Medina, which I imagine they're not, then, and it's a machlokas we spoke about in Bikias, whether or not Edom and Sira, it's the other way around. Rabbi Elazar would hold that Edom, Rabbi Elazar, that's what we say actually, Rabbi Elazar, and I think the same is true for Rabbi Meir, though Rabbi Meir doesn't require Edom and Sira. Rabbi Elazar, when you say, if you say, Ach Edom and Sira, the way Chachmei Sfarad would say, so Edom and Sira are good, so why does Edom and Sira help you? Same reason for Rabbi Meir, because if you have Edom on the Sira, and the star is in the woman's hands, there's an umdana, the husband gave her the get. But the Torah, that shouldn't apply to the Kiyum HaTanah. The fact that the woman is holding the get in no way indicates that she did or didn't fulfill the job. Right? It only, because the husband's going to give it, assuming the husband gives her the get, that's fine. When he gives her the get, if she now is holding the get, there's an umdana he gave her the get, even though we don't have Edom and Sira. But there's no umdana that she did or didn't fulfill the tonight. So the question would be, is the Kiyum HaTanai part of, is there a requirement of Eidos? Is that like the Davar Sheva Erva or whatever it is, however you want to formulate it? That's the question. So certainly here, some Rishonim certainly just assume that you require Eidos to know that the Tanai was Makuya. You know, when you're talking about a Tanai that requires Kumbase, the Tanai that requires Kumbase. Okay, but going back to, for the moment, to my question of Rabbi Yonah, what Rabbi Yonah raises. So, how do we psychologically look at Isurim? In other words, we might say, it is not impossible for me to eat chazer, but it is inconceivable that I would eat chazer. And the question is, does inconceivable, one of my favorite words, does that constitute e'efsher or not? And the inconceivable part is not, again, if it's a diet, that's not only not impossible, it's not inconceivable. Right? But if it's chazer, from Jews, it's inconceivable, even though it is possible. So Ravenu Yonah writes the following. Ravenu Yonah begins Shari Tshuva, the paragraphs before, talking about the importance of seizing the opportunity for Tshuva. And now he talks about the ills or the evils of one who delays seizing that opportunity. And he says, V'odis bonim b'ras ha-mesachar menat Tshuva ki rabahi. You should consider the badness of someone who delays doing tshuva, because it is great. It is very, very bad. Ki lulei hismama, ki atoshav ish, had he not delayed, he would have returned. As ish ne'enach b'mrivus leiv, v'rugza uvedada. He would be a person with a bitterness of the heart, groaning, anxiety, worry, v'dolfa eino mituga. His eyes would drip from agony. So after he experiences that, meaning that's part of the tshuva process, the regret, the I don't know, guilt is not a popular word, maybe regret is a better word.
Shari tshuva is not a popular statement nowadays.
What's that?
Shari tshuva is not a popular statement nowadays for that reason.
Because of guilt?
It's considered like the most, you know, negative, guilt-filled of all the
tshuva. It's nice to read, even if you don't digest it fully.
I'm not saying I don't like them.
I understand.
The people that don't like the word guilt also don't like Shari Tshuva.
Ki yifkesheyu yitzro shenis, when the Yetzer Hara greets him a second time, he is damin achet liyado, and then the opportunity for sin comes. Yichvosh es Yitzro, he'll conquer his inclination, his desire, v'yizkar asher avra lav kosa merius, if you are experiencing the bitterness, the regret, the guilt of having done it, so then you don't want to experience that anymore, so you won't do it again. Kemoshin emar, rigzu v'al techatau. Be'ura, what does that pasuk mean? Rigzu, hitzkaru al asher chatosem v'al techatau. have be anxious or feel guilty over what you've sinned, and then you won't sin again. Earlier in the Mizraim makes reference to the sin, and now it's Rigzu Ve'al Techato. V'yayid al zeh ha-perush amro Rigzu Melasho al pergezu badarach. Don't become aggravated on the way. V'tachtai ergoz. Similar meaning. V'inyanam ha-tsar al ha-dobar sh'avar ve'al ha-hove. It is expressed, it is feeling pain over what one has done and feeling that pain now. Below Amar Yiru Oguru, it doesn't say be afraid. Rather it says Rigzu. The Khasher Ya Acher Lashuv, that if a person delays sinning, the Voachet the Yada, when the opportunity comes again, because they're not experiencing this regret and this guilt. Yipo b'mokshel, can fall b'tchila. They'll trip again like you tripped the first time. The Yigdal Avonu Acharon Ma'od. The Talehu Ra'asol L'Pnei Hashem. The second sin is even greater, because you had the opportunity to prevent it. Ki meireshis lo chashav, ki fistom yavo ayetzer hashodeid alav. Initially, on the first sin, you never considered that you could all of a sudden be entrapped, that the shodeid, the plunderer, the yetzer hara would come for you. Ach afre ashera dalus kocho, but after you realize the weakness of your will, asher gavra yad yetzer alav, and you saw that the yetzer the first time overpowered you, the chi otzum hu minenu, and it is more powerful than you, he should have realized that it is, in effect, open. It's open season on him. And to take counsel for himself, to increase one's fear of God, to cause the fear to fall upon himself, and to save himself from the ambush of his Yetzer Ulishram and Amahona. The Omar Shlomo, Allah Vashalom, in Mishlei, Kechelav Shav Al Keo, Kisil Shoneh Be'ivalto. Which means literally, a dog that returns, that eats its own vomit, is like a fool who repeats the same mistake. Be'uro, Ki Akelav Ochal Dvaram Nim'asim. The Kelav eats disgusting things. Apparently, dogs will eat anything. So I'm told by dog owners. Which renders the Ein Arayd Achilas of Kelev a suspect category. V'chasher yiki'ein nim'osim yoser, and when the dog vomits it, it's even more disgusting. V'hu shavalein lo'ochlam, and it will eat it again. Kein inyan haksil, ki yase masa meguna, he'll do something inappropriate. V'chasher yishne bo meguna yoser, v'chasher be'arno, it's worse than the first time.
I was wondering about this paragraph. Was this saying that if you don't do tshuva in time, then before you have the chance to do tshuva on your first avera, you'll end up doing a second avera?
No, you'll do the same avera again.
Right. Is it only saying that if you haven't done tshuva yet, then the same avera will come to you and you'll do it again? Or is it even if you've already done tshuva for the first one, but it was just delayed a little bit, it's not going to be with...
Oh, no, I think it's the former. If you're lucky enough, having delayed tshuva, but you do it, and then you'll presumably, once you're feeling, experiencing the experience, it will help you from tripping the second time. Hashenis, the second bad thing about the delay of tshuva, or that emerges from the repetition, because you delayed the tshuva, is ki hashone becheto tshuva so kasha. When you repeat sin, it's harder to do tshuva. Ki nasis lo achet kehete. Uvazeh kavda ma'od chatosel. This is Rav Huna's expression in the Gemara, which call Misha Chata Bashana. Originally it says Hutralo. The Gemara says Hutralo Sakadaida. It doesn't go mutter. Great, it'd be a great system. Just do the very twice for those of you. No. It's Nasis Loketa. This is what psychologists would call cognitive dissonance. If you do something wrong, so the first time you do it wrong, you feel guilty, you know it's wrong. But the more you repeat it, since we all like to perceive of ourselves as basically good people, instead of seeing ourselves as bad and worse and getting worse, we start to minimize, we rationalize, oh, it's really not so bad, it's not such a big deal, it's not really us there. It's just you know, some form of the rabbi's help us or something like that. So that's how human beings work, because none of us like to look at ourselves, I think, I'm assuming that you're all like this, none of us like to think of ourselves as bad people who fundamentally do bad things. So occasionally we make mistakes, but if we keep repeating the mistake, it becomes habit, so then we have to explain why the mistake is not, the habit is not such a bad habit, as opposed to saying we're not such a good person. So this makes the sin that much graver. You've spoken and then you have done the bad things, and you have become evil. Be'ur vatuchal is ki haraos nases l'cha keheter. The things that you're doing wrong become in your own eyes as being permissible. Uchedover shehu b'yecholticha u'vershuscha. Now it's something that you are able and permitted to do. Milashon lo sucha lecho b'sharecha shetargumo les loch reshu. There's always an interesting question. When is lo suchal a something that you can't do versus something that you're not allowed to do? But he says that sometimes we say lo suchal, it means I'm not allowed to do so. And in this case, the person who repeats sin, it's as if it's something that he's able to do, because he sees it as if it is permissible. That's one statement, Rahuna's statement. I didn't remember this particular part. I didn't look it up. I thought Avodah Zarah is the only thing where Machshava counts as Maaseh. Apparently, the Gemara says it, that once you become habituated, then your failure to do it can no longer be attributed to the fact that you've done Shuvah and you refrained from doing it. It's just you weren't able to do it, that's all. But you would have done it otherwise. So, I thought about this for Benyon in the context of our Gemara, which is Abaye and Rava are basically debating whether or not eating chazir is something that is efshar or eat efshar. Right? If it's efshar, then Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema would agree that niskayim etanai, arez aget, lo niskayim etanai, aims aget. Whereas if you believe that eating it is eat efshar, so then you would say it's like Yehuda ben Tema, and therefore it is a get regardless. Now, one could challenge the psychology, the analysis here on separate grounds, depending on how you understand why a tanai shi'i efshar l'kaimo is batel in the maisis kaim. Why is it that a tanai shi'i efshar l'kaimo, that the tanai is batel in the maisis kaim? Yes?
It's just the mafliga
b'dvar. So that's what the Gemara says. It's the mafliga b'dvar. Yes. The Tosos seems to make a different assumption. Tosus says that explicitly, I think. What does the Rabban say? Right? Yeah, it's a formal din. It's not the Tanai Gad and Mnei Ruvain. The Rabban says that there are four things that are learned from the Tanai Gad and Mnei Ruvain, even though the Gemara only explicitly links three to them, which is saying the Tanai Kofalin, Kodan Lab, and Tanai Kodan Lamaisa. Maybe it's Tanai Kodan Lamaisa. So the Rambam says that Tanai Shefshul Kaim is also one of them. So if you say that it's learned from Tanai Gad and Tanai Mei Ruvain, then you can explain the Machlokas of Ayah Rabba in this, along these conceptual lines. And how do you relate to something that's also? Of course, if you wanted to take Rabbeinu Yonah and be very clever, you could say that it depends. If his wife has eaten chazir before, then the Tanai is valid. If she's never eaten chazir, so then the Tanai is not valid. Which, by the way, psychologically would make sense also. And if he knows that his wife is a chazir eater, so then, you know, whatever reason she chooses to do this, it's in the realm of possibility for her. If she's never eaten chazir before, you can imagine she'll get in trying to actually do it just to get her get. She'll have to decide which is more impulsive to her, eating this chazir or still being married to this guy. Clearly, who by stipulating such a tanai is clearly repulsive, fair to say. If you say, however, that the core is to mafliga b'dvarim, then you have to reduce Abaye and Rava's machlokas to a metzius issue. In other words, is he being serious or not? Right? In his mind, when he says you'll eat chazir, like is it that he knows she'll never eat chazir? It's inconceivable to him that she'll eat chazir, and therefore he wants it to be a get. Or is it that He's daring her? It's like, okay, you want to get, that's fine. Let me see you get on the chazir first, and then you can have to get, in which case, it's Efshar L'Kaim, and he's not good enough to give it to her.
Why is it more conceptual on the Shara Tshuva? Because here you can also say that
my focus in the theist about the psychology of how, when it becomes heter. Or you can say it's like what you're talking about before it became heter, and he's talking about after it became heter, or something like that. You know? Like,
no. The point is, Abaye and Rava have a machlokus before she eats the chazer, whether she can eat the chazer or not,
right.
Whether that's called efshna. So, according to the Levitin ben Tema, the way the Gemara seems to present it, the question is he really the Nachlag of Rav? It's not her. It's him.
But for her too, you can say it's a machlokes about whether she's the kind of person who, you got him to see us. Is she the kind of person who chazer is going to?
Yes, which is why I prefer to see it as a question of how do we label the behavior, right?
I'm talking about the same person. The question is just, do we label this person's?
Is it? Yes. Fine. You mean Rava think? Well, I don't know which way do you want to have it. Couldn't it go either way? You're saying one of them holds it's about Machli, but there are one of them holds it's and I got a Bnei Ruvein.
Yeah, I would want the Rava be made up
in Ruvein. Yeah, but wouldn't it work better the other way? Because Rava's right in the sense that she can eat the chaser, and maybe she will.
Well, that means that since it's possible.
Which Abaye knows the same thing, but he would just say it doesn't matter because it's inconceivable somebody does that, and therefore it's not the kind of Bnei Ruvein. I would have thought if anything, it goes the other way. I'm sure if you come back to me today, I could formulate the other way. That's what it seems to me at first glance.
So then to think about now, maybe with a woman who was already sort of programmed, and it doesn't mean that the awful lot of past now.
No, that's not past tense. Firstly, you don't have to vocalize the answer, Joe. It's not past tense. It's present tense. Afla v'lafya are participles. In Aramaic, firstly, I mean, you don't have the vowels here, it would be achalas. And if it were malchus, it would be ulakos, like uramos, or cross. All this week's parsha, the targum, all over the place, hakikra, is ukros. Which is really patach, which is a loss of the consonant, you have compensatory lengthening. So it would be kasadas, but it's ukros, because you lost a letter, so but the patach lengthening still comes up. So, anyway, but no, this is definitely participles. So, she can eat and get malchus. Okay. Anyway, so Abaye and Rava disagree about this issue. Whatever exactly the basis is. So now, the Gemara continues. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, Abaye and Rava, to me, it's Basar Chazir. The Rava Chazir, it's Basar Chazir.
Okay, so in the previous Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema had said, Kozeget, and then Zeha Klav. When you say Kozeget, and the truth is, reading the Raisa is very tricky. The pshat, the zeh klal is not compelling on a pshat level, but the Gemara always darshan zeh klal. But whenever the Mishnah says zeh klal, the Gemara will darshan what additional case is being included that you wouldn't have known that it's not exactly like the Mishnah, but you're marveh. And when you say kozeh, but when he says, so that's not necessarily pshat and zeh klal. There's, I believe, one Mishnah in Shas that I'm aware of where there's no additional cases learned from the zeh klal. If anybody knew that, knew this, I would be very impressed. The Mishnayos that speak about how many aliyahs you read in Megillah. It gives the example, Kol Sheyeshbo, I think that with the four that you read four aliyahs in a day when there is Karba Musaf and no Bittul Malacha La'am, which suggests that Rosh Chodesh has some kind of Isser Malacha, I think with the women don't do Malacha or something, and you bring a Karba Musaf on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, and I think the Mishnah specifically spells out Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara wants to know what else does the Zeh Klal include that has four aliyahs, so the answer is nothing. So it's in that Mishnah, but that's the only time I've ever encountered where there's no something that the Zeh Klal can be marveh. So but that's not pshat. That's not pshat, I think, in the Zeh Klal. But kazeh, when you read that brisa of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, harezeh gitecha manashitali rakia manashitali manashitali kadoshu manashitali Eno get, and unless they fulfill the tonight, which you can't. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema omer kazeh get, which implies no. This is a get, which is not. So anyway, our Gemara says that the Zeh Klal according to Abaye includes the case of Chazir, and the Kazeh for Rava excludes the case of Chazir. So now the Gemara says, and here's where the fun begins. Alright, stop. That's the text of the Braisa as found in our printed text. So what does the Braisa say? Man gives his wife a get. Amenashel ki bali the pony. Okay, so if it's nice, fulfilled, it's valid, and if not, not. As you would, as kind of you would expect, then Amenashel lo ki bali la abo la vich. That she was Nivala Lahen. Okay. So I have a question for you. What does that mean? That's the Machlokas HaRishonim. Hashem and Nivala Lahen is a very odd formulation. What should it have been, Jake? Any choshes in Shema? Tibaya. It should have been the future. What does it mean when not choshesh that she was nivalolahem? Not choshesh, she will be nivalolahem. So that's going to be the second issue we're going to deal with. But the first issue that I want to deal with before we even talk about the Gersos and everything that follows from that is the question of Amenashel ki bali l'ploni miskayim ha'chareves again. So according to the Braisa, is it mutter for her to have bia with ploni in order to trigger the get? Yeah. What say it now? What?
It's for a question. I can't answer that question.
Why is it a substantial question? So answer the first question.
No. Do I have to?
Yes.
I don't know what the answer to that question is. Is it the chatzilah allowed for her to get married to Pony?
Is it with Pony, according to the Braisa?
I don't know.
Exactly. You can't tell from the Braisa. The Braisa just says, Niskayim Hatzanai Hariz again. It doesn't say whether it's mutter or not to be mekayim this time. That's fairly straightforward. It doesn't say in the braisa, which is why you can have a machlokas harishonim over this issue, or what seems to be machlokas harishonim. So you all remember from the beginning of the year the Yerushalmi, but just in case I didn't mean to be choshev to share that you forgot anything, but I presented the Yerushalmi again, and this Yerushalmi, my memory serves me correctly, was on the case of Rabbi Akiva, where you could have something that's a valid get, and then later it could turn out that she could have bia mitzvotah, and then later, when a tzai triggers the undermining of the get, it turns out that in the end, the bia was actually a violation of a situation. It was erva. Right? A man that gives his wife a get says, Amenashe lo tinasi l'ploni. And she goes and marries somebody else, which is fine and good. And then she, after the first husband that she married, first remarried, divorces her, he dies, she has children, she now goes and marries the other guy. And in such a case, it retroactively undermines the get. And it turns out that the children are Mansairs. The Yerushalmi said, so that's a case. So go ahead, thank you, Jake and Jimmy. Please read the Yerushalmi.
I'm Rabbi Shimi.
That's an interesting pronunciation of the name. I'm pondering whether that's correct. Does anybody think, is that correct, or is that called Darshan Parzich?
Well, besides, who had it with two yids? Someone had it with two yids.
That would be Shama. But I want to say that Shimi's reading, I'm going to allow some credence to, because how do you pronounce his name? I don't pronounce his name as Shim'i, right? And even if I were not worried about the Gelo, I don't pronounce your name as Shim'i, right? What you do is you align, since you're pronouncing the ayin as just a glottal stop. You know what a glottal stop is, Jake? What's the difference between a nice man and a nice man? The difference between a nice man and a nice man. The ice man brings you cubes. And the other one is nice to you. Right, that's the position of the glottal stop. Do you have a glottal stop in there or not? And where does the consonant go?
But in English, one of those is a vowel, whereas I is a consonant.
Correct. So if you pronounced ayins, it would never happen. You would never say, think about the English spelling of the kings of Egypt. What do you call them? Pharaohs, not pharaohs. And so if you read an ayin, you don't elide that. It becomes paro as opposed to paro, which is what's happening in, I don't know if pharaoh is the Septuagint translation and so on. You have it sometimes, you have it all over rabbinic Hebrew and occasionally biblical Hebrew where aleph's do elide. Like lo ruveni, like korim el Hashem hu yaneim, that aleph's totally silent because it elided, which is standard in Mishnah Hebrew, not standard here. So what is the name in the Bavli, what do they call the Tana Shimon ben Baraba, who made Aliyah, Lechia Baraba and Shimon Baraba, you know what his name is in the Bavli, typically? Shemen Baraba, meaning Shin Nimrun. The ayin is elided. So I'm willing to allow Shimi. We will call him in Shimi's honor, Rabbi Shimi. Okay. I would have read it Rabbi Shammai, but yes. Okay. Rabbi Shimi, I'm a Rabbi Shimi. Go ahead. So, okay, I like the question mark there. So he's saying, how is it possible? So, Amar le Rabbi Mana.
Amar le Rabbi Mana. Lamaza Doma, the Achad Shamar le Ishtar, right? The Gide, Amanat Shatabali, the Ishkoni, Akila, who Asar le Bama, Avar ve Uba al Batar Yat Lamafra.
Okay. So it's very interesting. So you get a woman gives his wife to get almanasha to barley lishploni. There is an achlokas harishonim whether that means dafka through snus or it could be even marriage. I'm not going to deal with that issue. Although the Rashba raises it because it has an impact upon this. Let's assume for the most part she could do it beheter. So what is the Yushalmi saying? The tilo asur livo, but avarba what do I get manafreya? So why is it asur to Davia?
Because she's an Ishanish.
Okay. Yes.
I thought maybe this is going to have to be a Shaiishi by that. Maybe he's a guy who's quite promiscuous, and even though maybe the Maisa was not a real Maisa of whatever, but she thought that when he was thinking about it, he was thinking about doing an Avera. So even though when he does do an Avera, it turns into not an Avera, but Hashem is punishing him for the... No?
So that's a very interesting question. There's an article in Tradition, I think, in the last issue that just came out. I think it's the last one that came out about this question in Jewish thought, in the Jewish law. Someone who tries to violate Isser, but you know, experiences what my children, I'm just teaching, call epic fail. And you have a famous Tirashi, which is a Gemara, about the woman who takes an eder. And doesn't realize that her baal was mefer, and she violates the neder. And Chazal read Vashem Yislach La is a reference to that. So she, who tried to do an avera but failed to do an avera, she requires slicha. How much more so someone who tried to do an avera and did an avera requires slicha. So I don't think that that's really what's going on here. So the challenge is the following. Once it's done, what has he done? And assuming he married her, assuming he made a chuppah v'kiddushin, and then has to deal with her. So you want to say when he's initially, when he has to deal with her, she's initially kiddushin. But once he has to deal with her, it turns out that she wasn't initially kiddushin. So is that true? Is that what the Yerushalmi is thinking? It certainly sounds like that. And the Rashba is open to another possibility. But it sounds like it took him off air. The question is, why?
Hashanah.
What's that?
Hashanah.
No, he knows what he's doing. He understands what he's doing.
He's like, he knows he's going to get a root.
He knows it's going to become mutter.
He's trying to game the system.
I would call gaming the system. This is the only way to be mad at her. But it turns out that once you do it, it will have been mutter.
I'm out of the covers.
Okay, fine.
It's strange that it pays in terms of the man's Israel, but now it's certainly the same as.
I'm sorry?
It's kind of who also lives on. It's the same Israel, it's an assumed, it's the same age, which is there.
Right.
Is that not usually how it is?
I don't really understand what you apply to this. Mitzilo aser levo because of Eishes Ish. But once he's Moel, it's Hotel Lamafeya. Turns out it wasn't Teshitish. She was a Pneuria, so he's if he made a Kiddushin before, it's Mutter. And if he didn't, it's whatever you classify as Zos.
Is there another distinction between, from her perspective, his perspective?
One, generally the Arayas are a two-way street. I mean, it's that funny, even that funny case, that Tosus in the Darim, about Tmei Ani Lach, where he raises the possibility, but he rejects it, that if the woman is not Asura, if the man is not Asura, the woman is not Asura. Right, that if he doesn't have to believe her, and he's not afraid to believe her when she says, you know, that she committed adultery, she was raped, and she's going, then he's not asur because she has no proof of it. And if he's not asur, then she's not asur. But it's still, the assumption is if one is asur, then both are asur. So it's kind of hard to see why would it be different from their perspectives.
That's what it is, the idea of the guy being muta on her to being a kaya, and that makes a difference from the other.
I don't know. The real question that I mean, who gave the best answer to this question? It's not a very good answer, but it's the only answer. No. The Nesivos. In case you're wondering, where was the Nesivos? Taurus Kitten by the Nesivos.
Got it.
Of Yaakov Lubisa, Yaakov Moberbaum. So Nesivos gives what I think is the only reasonable answer or explanation, even though it's totally plausible. What was his answer, right? What's the question really here? Let's assume Yerushalmi says it's usher to do now, but it will be mutter retroactively. Is there a reason why we would prohibit it? I would ask you the question, what could go wrong? What are you worried about? Not even practically speaking. What? No, there's not.
She's not.
When he does this on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei comes, the Sefer Chaim, the Sefer Mesim of Sukkot, the Ribbono Shel Olam is sitting there with the prosecutors, the defense attorneys, the prosecutor says he committed adultery. The defense attorney says, what are you talking about? She was a single woman. And the defense attorney invokes the fact that the get was hot from the time that's been gave it. He gave it on us. And the prosecutor, the katadar, is mute. He has nothing to say. They'll be forced to sign it. Yes. The idea with a penuria. What are you worried about? The reason why this is a challenging case is that it's quantum. In other words, you can only violate the Avera by making it mutter. If you violate the Avera, it makes it mutter by definition. If there's no Bia, then there's no Bia. If there's Bia, then it's mutter. And there's no possibility. How could you possibly violate Ishish? How could you possibly violate Ishish? No matter how hard you try, no matter how big you bigger rush are you, Daniel. See, Daniel, you talk about Mashaba here. No, because I was late. You're talking about Mashaba. Yes, but at least Mashaba, I mean, in one sense, but no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard he plans, he can't possibly violate the Ishish issue. Because if he doesn't have Bia, he can violate Ishish. If he does have Bia, so then, Shazani Shazish. What are you worried about? Now, if you want to be clever with me, you could say, oh, you're worried about Losikrabim. Because before the Bia, see, what you need to know when you try to understand what he was talking about, you have to know Yevamos and what exactly is Bia. There are three stages potentially in Bia. There is what's called Neshikas Shamash, Ha'ara'ah, and Gemara Bia. Now, the Gemara has a machlokas, I think. I don't know if you're actually arguing what you're chayav for in all the arayos, because the Mishnah is the Feirush, I think. Nishika Shamash refers to the tip of the male member achieving some penetration of the woman, but the Akhara, the crown that's formed by the Mila, the folding of the skin, I forget what this, there's a fancy term for it, I don't know if it's corona or something else. So when that part enters the woman, that's called Ha'ara'a. And for every one of the arayas in the Torah, for every single case of nafkamina, chiyuv, misa, possibly isha in terms of status, with one exception, that's the definition of bia. There's a Gemara has a machlokas, I think, about whether ha'ara'a is neshika shamash or hachnasa sa'atara. We pass in the latter. The third stage is gemar bia, which is complete penetration, and that only has normally nafkaminas when it comes to Shikha Harufa. The reason it has an afkamina only by Shikha Harufa is normally to have some type, to have ejaculation, to have Hotza Zera requires full penetration. It's not that impossible otherwise, but normally it requires penetration, partial withdrawal, it requires some type of friction and motion normally. And the Chazal don't require that. It doesn't actually have to be actual Hotza Zera, it has to be Roy Lahazriya, and that is full penetration. So there is Neshika Shamash, which we passed in, is nothing in terms of Bia. You're not chayef any Diarayas. Hachnasas HaTorah, which is what the Mishnah Yevamos and Abba Yevunto spells out, Kevach Hera Bakunah, and this is for all the Arayas in the Torah as well, for all the Avadinim, if you're Kona, you're Yevama, and you violate all the Arayas. And then there's Gemara Bia, which is relevant only for Shech HaRufa. To be chayef and Karban Asham, and the Malchus for Han Shech HaRufa, you have to have Gemara Bia. There are two ways of going about one's concern here. One concern, if you would be clever, is to say, well, we're concerned about the following, that in order to have Bia, first you have to have Nishikas Shamash, which presumably is a violation of Losikra, right? Probably is the quintessential Losikra, right? And here it's literally a preparation for the Maisa Bia. This is not a... So, if Neshika Shamash is Lo Sikrahu, you might say, we're afraid that the person will do Neshika Shamash. Violate, according to the Rambam, according to the Smag, not according to the Rishonim, but according to some Rishonim, violate the Isidaraisa, not consummate, not actually have Bia, and then they pull away, and that's a real Avera. And therefore, you'll say that, we are concerned about that. Now I can make the Lundus even better about this. There's a fascinating Ramban that almost nobody seems to know. Lo Sikrahu, we generally present them, they often present as a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not Lo Sikrahu is the Raisa of the Rabban. That's they present the machlokas. The Rambam thinks it's a real drasha, and the Ramban thinks it's not smata. It's based upon a sifrei. It doesn't appear in the Bible, it's sifrei. It appears in the Torah's Kohen. But the Ramban, if you look in his Hasagos to the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah, initially has a different suggestion, which is unbelievable, which would fit, make it better here. The Ramban says that the prohibition of Lo Sikrahu is a Chatzi Shir of Bia. So it really is Mamish, it's Givei Arayas, but a Chatzi Shir. So you could say, in this case, you're concerned about Lo Sikrahu, let's call it Neshika Shamash here, which really would be almost like a Chatzi Shir of Bia. And you only do that, now that's not what the Nesiva says. The Nesiva actually pushes it later, which is better in some ways, but more problematic in other ways. What does he say in the Torah's Kiddush? Yeah, I don't know, did you realize this is what he was doing when you read it? I don't know if you might have. Yeah, he does this very subtly. He doesn't spell out what he's doing for you. I know I'm jumping ahead, but that's okay. If you look at Torah's Kiddush for a second, he says, "Hatam pashut the b'tnai shukum basay asur alach akil linasay kemavur b'sifbei ve'almanasha tibali lo haynu gemar bia v'in ken asur b'tchilas bia mishum shema lo yimer biyasa." Not because, but in other words, the reason why she's not allowed to have yisuin and have bia is because she might not fulfill the tnai. But here, I ask you the question: Echitachin? You either. Do the filth of Tanai, or you don't violate the Bia. So what are they worried about? That's what he's telling you when he says that Amanasha Kibali, and this is the big fish. He's claiming that that has to be Gemar Bia. And the fear is, B'tchilas Bia, it's possible not to be Gomer the Bia, but you violated Ishish, the rights already. Really, Isra Bisa. be a mamash. But you know, but you didn't fulfill the tanah. I agree with you. Forget I said that. I said the problem with the Mesidas here is that's impossible. That's really what they had in mind. But he's answering a very important question. And he's asking the question of how is it, that's why I say this is a quantum issue. This is not, he's turning this into a non-quantum issue. There's a state in between. Right? I present to you, that's the way I'm using terminology, that you either have Bia and it's Mutter, or you don't have Bia and it would be awesome. So what are you worried about? And he says, no, you can have Bia without fulfillment of the Tanai. Because the Tanai is Tanai Bia, but the Bia you have was Tchilas Bia. He's not expecting that what's going to happen is you're going to have Tchilas Bia and say, oops, I'm not doing this anymore. But he's saying that because it is possible that you could have Kiyum, you could have violation of Eisus Ish without Kiyum Atanai, because it is possible, therefore it's Asur in the Rabbanon to have Bia and so you Mekayim the Tanai. And since you can't do that, it's Asur in this case. Daniel?
Just to understand, there are two steps of what you were saying, right? The first step is that, in general, we don't, this is very surprising, Shimon knows this is especially surprising, but we don't allow, you know, a woman to get married until she does her tanai. And so it's weird, she's not allowed to get married until she does her tanai. Period. The fact that it happens to be that she can only do the tanai if she gets married in this case.
Or, well, not, you're technically not. She can, right, you, fine. Like, she can only have Bia, you make kind of fine. Either way, it doesn't matter. Yes.
The fact that this happens to be doing something that helps your tanai, okay, but it's a formal rule that you can't, right? And then there's a second half, which is where he explains, and by the way, if you ask me, but doesn't this actually help her for her tanai? And the answer is, well, she might do this middle thing.
Well, that,
are those two different answers?
No. The point is that, this is the rule. The rule is, you are not allowed to have Bia, or I'm going to say Bia instead of getting married. Until you fulfill the tzai.
Right.
If it's a tzai, that's the kubase.
Right.
Why? Because we're afraid that you'll have the bia, but you won't fulfill the tzai.
Right.
But that makes no sense, that favor, in a case where the bia, by definition, means fulfillment of the tzai.
Right.
So why, yes, I understand the jump. Amanash is typically a messiah of Zoos. But I understand why it's also. Amanash, shekinos in the plum. I understand why you can't have bia with someone else until you, because maybe you won't fulfill the tzai. But if the tzai is Amanash that you have bia, and the only way to violate, we're saying you can't have Bia unless you can't have Bia. You can't have Bia unless you fail to have Bia. That's ridiculous, but that's what it was boiled down to. Saying that you're not allowed to have Bia until you're Mekayim and Tanai by Tanai Kumbase generally makes sense. But if Tanai happens to be Bia, so you're saying you're not allowed to have Bia unless you fail to have Bia.
But I think there's two different things going on here, because in the first half, there's nothing that indicates that it's retroactive. Meaning there's no, like, you were over on a beta if you did it. It's like, the first off, I think, is just saying, like, we don't want you to do things that are going to delay yourself.
But what? No. We don't want you doing things as long as you haven't fulfilled your time, because
right.
You might not end up fulfilling your time. That's, he doesn't spell that last one, that's why. Why does he distinguish between a kumbase and a shevi al-paseh? A shevi al-paseh tonight, I'm going to ask Shaloki Bali. I'll save the plony for now, like the Rashba and the Rabban. I'm going to ask you, Loki Bali the plony. The answer is, we're not afraid you're going to be an avos to them, and there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing more to do. Right? The only way to be sure, right, that they won't be an avos is if you're there or they're there. Like, that's ridiculous. But if it's a tzanai, I'm going to ask that you do something, so the answer is, first do it, then go get married. First do it, then go have bia. But the thing that you have to do is have bia. So firstly, definitionally, yes, it would be impossible. You cannot be into the bia. But also, what are you concerned about? Give me the case. I can show you, like every other case in the world, where you might accidentally fail to fulfill the tanai, but you've had bia and you've done a big yisur because you never failed the tanai. But it is impossible, at least at first glance here. Why would you, by this kumbase, why would anybody require you to fulfill the tanai before you have bia if the tanai is having bia? Yes, Yomi?
Not quite sure if I understand. If you're saying that there's a shash that the tanai will
No, so he is trying to construct for you. He wants to argue that in order for it to make any sense to say the Yushalmi, which implies that there's some issue involved, in order for the Yushalmi to make any sense, you may have to assume that if there's an obligation of kumbase, that you're not supposed to get married until you fulfill the tanai, A. And B, you have to assume that in this case there's a possibility. There's a possibility that you could be violating something without the Kiyama tonight. Because otherwise there would be no reason to be Hoshish.
So I'm trying to still understand why is why would someone be violating, why would you be violating this red king of nine? Why did they king of nine?
In this case?
Yeah.
Oh, the answer is because he has chilas bia, but he doesn't do the marabia. And the tzrai, amunasha ki, va'amu l'ploni, means he says it's marabia. That's the big leap of faith he's making. There's no evidence of that. But he's saying, he's assuming the only way you can possibly have bia without chilas matrai is that chilas matrai is marabia, but chilas bia already violates arayos.
Is he saying that when Yerushalmi says, Tibali, that means...
Yes.
Or is he saying, Yerushalmi saying from the balance of Tibali, then that's it. As in, is this a generic Yerushalmi term, or is this...
No, he's making a claim in this case. I mean, I don't know what he would say generally, but normally, this is it's a huge chiddush. The chiddush, it's brilliant, because at least it explains why anybody should be choshish in this case. What's the concern? Right? Normally, you can have beer without kiyama tanai. That's why you can't do beer until you have kiyama tanai. Here, you can't have beer without kiyama tanai. So the student says, no, yes, you can have beer without kiyama tanai. Chilas beer is for the sofia. And I'm suggesting, I would have preferred at least the Ramban, to say the Ramban's chatzi shir, even if you don't get the onesh of Eishas Ish, it is an erva. It's not just lo sikravu. It's an erva of Eishas Ish. It's just a chatzi shir. So you can have the chatzi shir. You can have the shika shamash without... Well, it doesn't have to be only that. It could be anything that and short of that, even without having actual bia. And clearly, amenasha tibali the ploni doesn't mean chatzi shir. Right? Doesn't mean chatzi shir. It means bia. It means bia. The difficulty, of course, is that Ramban, I don't think he accepts it in the end. It's very clever, but it's kind of hard to say, you know, would you say the chatzi shir, you wouldn't say that, let's say, a kohen has... Bia with a grusha, but has lo sikravu with a grusha. Lo sikravu. But Ramban say that there's a chatzi shir chilul that's just like kind of half halala? I don't know. I guess chatzi shir normally means there's no onesh, but it's an avera. So you'll say that the isha being this halala, so any other consequences, is part of the onesh. Okay. Anyway, but that, whether you like the nesivos or not, that's what he's doing. Mr. Meiri, do you agree?
I'm currently trying to figure out whether the right to take Bala's mind is a question.
Well, who?
The right who bought this Gemara. Are you on the Ramban?
Right.
And
wait, the Ramban says what?
The Ramban on the previous Gemara of the Gala is about.
Amanasha Timati. Tinasi Leploni, and she marries someone else.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is that's the whole discussion. What exactly?
Right.
Why did he see? What did he see in that? And you're trying to see if that plays into this at all. It's a good. It's a nice idea. It's a nice thought. I don't know where it goes because I haven't thought it through. But I think it's clear that's what. Whether you agree with the Sivas or not, that's what he's trying to do. Jake.
I have a question earlier in the Yerushalmi, and the question is, the Tila inside the Yerushalmi, so 5 days, is it opposite?
No, that's by the case of Amanasha Tanasi Lefoni, and she goes marry someone else. This is Rabbi Akiva's objection to Rabbi Eliezer. Right? It's the case where she married someone she was allowed to, and then later is going to undo the heter by marrying a person she wasn't allowed to. So that's...
it's not really known.
No, but he's pointing out what Shimi's response is that you're bothered by how an act can be one thing now and become a different thing later. And I'm showing you can have an act that is usher now and becomes mutter retroactively, just as that's a case of an act that was mutter when it was done, but usher retroactively. Yeah. Right?
Is it so likely that the tie of
yes, but why? In other words, the definition. He's questioning the plausibility. Why do I think it's so implausible? But after Kibali, if the guy's thinking normal bia. So I think that let me ask the crazy question this way. Do you think in people's minds whether or not they think that a woman committed adultery, their wife committed adultery, depends upon partial penetration, complete penetration? Probably not. It's only the halachists who have these very fine distinctions. In fact, the only time Allah makes this distinction is Zeros HaKasa, the Ishki Yifkadash Isha Shechasera, the Yishikonecha Repeslech. But outside of that, we just don't even distinguish. They're the same thing. In Metzias, they're different, because one might lead to, more likely lead to a child being born, but it's not, you know, the way people look at it, Bia is Bia. Right? We would say, you know, we would say that even people can have affairs that don't entail actually having, you know, full-fledged sex, but I think everybody kind of recognizes the distinction between penetrative sex versus everything else. And if you ask them to distinguish between Gemardia and Chilisbia, and anybody, you go, don't do this, just go over to the average Joe in the street, walk in Washington Heights, and ask them, do you see a difference? And they look like you come from another planet, or you're some really weird dude. That's, you know, so I don't think when people think, I'm an Ashes people in the colony, they're thinking, oh, Gemardia.
Does it include Shabbat
Kedarka
or not?
Does it include Shabbat Kedarka? No, the answer is yes. The Gemara says it doesn't matter Kedarka or Shalom Kedarka. In fact, I think by Shukra Haruf also it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's Kedarka or Shalom Kedarka.
No, it's a part of Adan Sifan. It's a sign of saying that, you know, the husband needs a particular kind of Bia, whereas I was just thinking of the fact that
Well, but he could challenge that. He could say, because that issue doesn't help. He could say, if you had told me there, by the way, Amanash Shalot Tiba, if you told me Amanash Shalot Tiba Ali Lefoni only means via Kedarka, because that's what people are thinking, that's not to me out of the question that such a thing could be.
But we don't say that.
I think that we are generally, we are labeling the act of the Ilah as, I mean, the Nesivos, that would have been a better avenue to go down. Where Choshe said, Habiyah Shalom Kedarka, and when he said, Amanash Lo Tibali, he meant, Biyah Kedarka. That would actually not be, you know, totally crazy, right? Probably because he's just not thinking about it, right? And that's an interesting question, which we don't have to explore, is society speaking, well, how do people relate to halacha? Clearly relates bia shelo kedarka, which means anal intercourse, and bia kedarka have the same status, except for maybe with respect to rendering her non basula, perhaps in certain contexts. And all other forms of intimate contact, all other forms of sex, are not they're considered lo sikravu. They're not considered part of the divli erva. The question would be, the Lashon B'nei Adam, in our society even, what would people regard, how would they regard the Yishalot Kedarka? I don't know the answer to that question. This is one of those things that I think you don't want to do. I don't think you want to do something like this. Okay. You don't want to do something like this. Okay. Fine. So, on the more mainstream than the Sidus in this context, let's take a look at how the Rashba deals with this. And there's just a question of how the Rashba is quoted, or how is he being read by the Torah. What does the Rashba really say? So, Daniel, please.
Shar is a chil to the Ella. The Ha'inami Gereshah have etched to the Ella. And takes Kula, the Abu Yisur, the Rai Shadish. Says, it's possible that the Chachila, she shouldn't have sex with it because she's not divorced to him. She's not divorced until she does so. And so therefore, the Tzkila Bia is the Yisur. And she's still in a Shadish. That needs to be your Shami. Ha'inash Tzba Ali Mitzvodi with Kula.
Yeah, I want to just comment on one thing, which we didn't translate wrong, but I think it's important to emphasize. When the Rashba says Pchilas Bia here, he doesn't mean the Nesivos is Pchilas Bia. He's not referring to a halachic stage. It means when you begin the act of Bia, at that point, when you ask him, are you allowed to have Bia now? Is she an Eshes Ish? The answer is she's an Eshes Ish. So don't have Bia with her. So with Tila, that's what he means. With Tila, it means Tila's Bia versus Self Bia.
So So why didn't he say dia bester? Why didn't he say chila dia bester?
Because the whole point is only when you begin that it's usher. When it's over.
Then you need to get into the tension of being in the act.
No. The point, when he means chila, it means before, when you're about to engage in the act, she's an eshes ish. As soon as you do engage in the act, she's no longer an eshes ish. That's what he means by chila.
That's the question, right? Then once you start engaging it, it's fine.
Correct, but let me emphasize, yes, but the problem is, and it's now fine retroactively, but when you first approached to do it, it was us.
That's like the mashallah thing.
What?
That's like the mashallah thing.
I see, by the way, reading it, I understand a little bit where you're coming from, even though I don't think that's what he's saying. Again, in other words, when you approach the ball, it's awesome, like the ball's awesome now. But after I do it, it will have been mutter. So I hear what you're saying when you raise the mashallah question. Continue. Right, and by the way, that I think captures it. But tchila hu aser leval. The Rashba's tchila via is a translation of that. Yeah, but tchila hu aser, right, as opposed to the technical definition of tchila via versus sofia. The language of the Yerushalmi, I think, makes that clear.
I don't know. I thought that he was saying translating the word tchila as lechatchila. He said the word.
I agree, but when he says chila sbiya later, I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
So what's his question?
Why do we not say the same thing that we're saying here over there?
Yeah, it's also to do initially. It will come muta when the get is with the lemafreya. Well, the answer, that's easy to answer. Go ahead. Yeah, it's only Bia that's Asr. The Hilchah.
How would those who say that Chuppah that it's only Bia? Is there an opinion showing that only Bia is Asr?
No, it has to be.
How can you say the Beta?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be Chuppah Rui the Bia. Nobody says, I think, that if you don't have Bia, that she's not an Asr.
Got it.
No, so the Chachmei Sfarad say it's a yichud,
okay.
As opposed to just chuppah. Right, because you can first make a mutter and then have the bia. Now, is that true? It's a machlokas ha tanoim. Machlokas Rabbi and the Rabbi. It's Machlokas Rabbi Huda and who's the other one? Rabbi Yehuda and I don't remember if it's with Nachman. Whether or not you say Almanah, whether or not, in fact, Almanas is Omer Me'ach Shavdali. So, I don't know if all Rishonim Paskin, but I'm pretty sure. If we pass the other Shulchan Aruch, that kala omer almanas to omer me'ach shadam. The Raman paskins that way, I'm sure the Rish paskins that way. I don't know if Chachmei Ashkenaz would disagree, but I'm assuming they agree also. So the question is, Rashba asks, and the Rashba is certainly assuming that, because he doesn't answer, oh, it's like the other, I mean, he doesn't say it's a machlokes in the Bible, he just assumes, kala omer almanas to omer me'ach shadam. The Nikra. Right. Even though she hasn't filled the tzad yet, if the get gets torn up or lost, that's not a problem. You gave her the get, it's chalmei afshav when you say almanas, provided that the condition is met. When the condition is met, even though the get is not only not in her reshus, but it's no longer extant, it doesn't matter. Because not only is the mesinas haget from the time it was given, but so is the chalos haget. As long as the tanai is fulfilled. Well, so why is the problem in the first place? The Shema.
The Shema had Yerushalmi command on her mother and love command on her. Now they command on her, he takes lick shit about the fun. That's the goal. Being a very ball, you are all the time again.
Okay, now the Rashba is not going to like this for textual reasons and other reasons, but I want to explore this for just a moment because this is a glorified case. If a person is, let's say the get is only chal when the bia takes place, not an almanas, not lamafreya. So it's aser to do, but once you do it, she's megureshes. So I have a question for you. assuming that the, well, she's a grusha anyway, so it doesn't help us. Okay, but I want to know, do they have to bring a karban? Or, if they were warned when doing it, could they get the death penalty for adultery? Think long and hard, unless you thought already long and hard. Try.
Of course it's not long enough.
You see me?
I was going to say what a friend said, then he told me to think long and hard, so it makes you think it's your question.
It's not a trick question. I don't know the answer with certainty, but I think I know the answer. Let's say, for the moment, that the Yerushalmi is not an Amanas. Well, Amanas is not Lamafra.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume it's a case. Haveza Gike Kishe Tibali the Plone. Make it close. No Amanas in it. So I want to know, are they Chayav a carbon, are they Chayav a Nishish? Clearly, they have the bia. Subsequent to that, she's divorced. Shimmy? Is your question clear?
Wait a minute. If this were the T'nai, then that would mean he's the T'nai to do something usher, to violate ancient ish. So now I'm wondering whether or not it would be a God's time in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Rishonim raised that issue. I don't know if I gave it to you in the passage. If it's explicit in the passage, it's not explicit in the Rashba that I gave you, but I think there's an error in the last part of the Rashba, and I think I know what it should say. I want to amend the text completely. Let's assume for the moment, well, but no, because Shimi, that's circular. Well, here's the story. You can argue that if the so you're going to argue it's a get if they didn't violate an issue no matter what. The semimanushah. If the act will be, if they will not be chayv anything for the act, then it will be a tenai she'eshu lekaima. And therefore, if they're mekaim the tenai, the get is good. And if it's yeshu mekaim the act, well, then it will be mutter because the tenai is not valid and the get is kaima.
Right, but if it's a valid tenai, but the T'nai is only, but if the get is only triggered after the act, then the act itself should have been before the get was triggered, and then probably also.
I know this is not what's going on. This feels like that Bazinga conversation. No, this is what I was saying. You are cleverly wanting to argue that if it's us for them to do this dia, and they will be hired for it, but subsequently should be divorced, then you're arguing that the T'nai was batel in the first place because it's Iyash Lekaimo and the get was Kaimo.
According to the thing.
Yes, which is the way we pass it. The way we pass it, yes. Fair enough. But yes. What? Pass the Rebbe Ben Tema?
Shouldn't
the Stam be in the Rabbana? We have a Stam Mishra like Rebbe. So I'm saying to Shimi, well, you're now suggesting the following. The Manushah, it's Mutter. If it's Usser, it's Mutter because the T'nai is Vata, the get is Chayim. If it's Mutter, well, it's Mutter because it's Mutter.
Right.
So if you don't know if you didn't say, well, right, if you the Rashba is correct in saying the Yerushalmi doesn't hold. The Yerushalmi doesn't, it holds his Lamafre. It says Mutter Lamafre. That's why he doesn't like this shot. I'm asking in general. Let's say Aliba the Rabbanan, okay? Thank you. I'm gonna tie one hand behind your back. They're both hands down. According to the Rabbanan, where it doesn't matter if it's what you consider tonight is Eshel Lekaimo. So I'm asking you whether or not they violated it. Daniel? Oh, so that's not a hand, I'm sorry, but that's a hand. Or is that that's a Rogin thinker, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to do it like this. Okay. Well, this could be one different posture. Fine.
Could depending on whether or not you accept that Aram's Kiddush by tonight, the upper these days by tonight, but not that afraid whether or not she's put her to stay with them.
I don't think so. No. The Rambam only said when it's when you do something that makes it impossible to be mekayim the tanai, you are ma'afik the tanai. You have control over X parts of it.
That one you don't want in the kasala, but he says that a sam tanai him help issues akil asura with akibat issues. And when he says, what is it?
Okay, Ephraim, you're right, and I'm going to modify my question. What happens if he explicitly states that the get is only a get, is only being given to her, not in Tivali the Pogi, but Kisha Tivali the Pogi, which I may have been the formation of it, but you said it's correct, so you're just pushing the question off, which, by the way, is a way, that's a way a post-it would deal with things, not the way a conceptualist would deal with things, but that's fair. So now I'm just going to move the question down the road. Kishiki Bali the plumber. What I'm attempting to pull out of you is the question of Yitro Bayada Vali to Echa. How do you ever give a manhead a get shikhon? After all, Mashikana Abikana Rabba. The answer is Yitro Bayada Vali to Echa, which in its broadest strokes probably means that when there's a personal status change taking place, that the act itself requires to happen in order to be valid. We allow that to be the case. We allow simultaneity. So, as opposed to a case where it's Hutala Mafreya, where when you had the Bia, it turns out that it actually was mother. In other words, before they had the Bia, it was mother. Right? Because he gave her the get on January 10th. She has the Bia on January 20th. And you ask her, she had the Bia directly. When was she divorced? January 10th? But in a case where the divorce itself will only be on January 20th, nonetheless, it might be also to do because when we look after the fact and say, well, what was the date of the divorce? Well, January 20th. And with your beer, January 20th. So you could see why it might be also to do, but whether or not they're really chayav ultimately, it may be, so you understand more why it's also. Because there will never, because when he began the act, was she an Ashes Fish? The answer is yes. That's why it's also. Now, it's not because we're afraid you won't fulfill the Tanai. It's because it's actually us here at the time. But when you do it, it's Vita B'yadam Vayim Kachat. That's right. I bet if you go digging, it might be in the Mepharshim on the Yerushalmi, maybe one of them says this. It's been a while. I think it's obvious, but I think someone may say this idea. That if you don't do it, even if you don't do it L'mafreya, it's still Vita B'yadam Vayim Kachat, but it may be us here to do in this case. For that reason.
I also that the Tima Tanai is only sort of after that first moment of Bia. That moment of Bia was still whatever.
No, because it really is quantum. The answer is, did they have Bia or not? The answer is, there's a moment where you go from no Bia to yes Bia. There's nothing in between. So when you had no Bia, she was an Ashes Ish, the Gamrei, and you didn't have Bia. As soon as there's Bia, well, her status slips. Then, right then. It's simultaneous. Okay. So let's finish the Rashba. He doesn't like this. I'm going to leave one part of the Rashba for tomorrow. Let's not push on now. I'm going to look at the Rashba's kashas on this suggestion. He doesn't think this is what the Yerushalmi means, and he's got a bunch of other problems as well. So we'll begin with that tomorrow and try to finish up the second half as well. Okay, any questions?